Hi, welcome to the Bucko Fever Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Franson. Thanks for tuning in today. So this episode, I'm just going to talk about, you know, this starting pitching. The rotation has not been good, to be honest. You know, they're very inconsistent. And it's one of those things. I wouldn't be totally shocked if most of these guys don't make it to the next level of Pirate success. Ideally, you want to peg, 2024 as the potential year for the Pirates to really take giant step forward. I think they're going to get an influx of talent as the year goes on. They're going to get an influx of talent next year. And then 2024, we should see a little more guys, really establishing themselves. And none of these guys are certain. So I'm going to take a look at the guys that are currently up, some of the guys who will probably filter in as the year goes on. But before I get too far into that, let's have a message from Anchor. So, the looking at this rotation, it's hard to tell where a lot of these guys will fall. They need to be more consistent. We need to see a little bit more out of them, right? But I'm going to start and look at the one guy who I feel absolutely will not be, or 99% sure he will not be a part of this team in 2024. And sadly, he's the most consistent and most successful pitcher in the rotation at the moment. And that's Jose Quintana. Quintana's been a great signing. The value with Quintana is the potential trade value, right? He's not going to be on this team unless they end up bringing him back, or something along those lines, signing him then or whatever. He's not going to be here in 2024 when the Pirates really take that jump. Hopefully take that jump. He's going to be, his value is in the players that he brings back in a trade contributing at that time, right? He's been amazing. This is vintage Quintana. This is Quintana in his prime. He's pitching very, very well. He's not getting hit hard. He's not giving up a lot of runs. He's just locating everything, and they're not giving up hard contact. For a lefty to do what he's doing, he's working out, so far better than like Tyler Anderson did last year. So you got to hope that, he can keep this up. He's got that ERA down and, 2.19. Keep that up and, you're going to get a decent return. He is a rental, so obviously you're not getting a top 100 prospect out of him, but I mean, if you could get somebody that would slot into the Pirates top 15, top 20 even, maybe another guy that's, major league ready, or I know there's teams that are looking for starting pitching, or at least started. I think the trades are going to start a little earlier this year. That's just my feeling. They've already been happening on a real low level, but I think the O's just traded a reliever. But he, the Angels, I know, are looking. I'm sure the Mets are looking. Teams like that. Phillies may be looking. I mean, they could easily trade him at any point here. And I think for Ben Cherington, you've got to jump on that. Strike while the iron's hot. I think I was listening to a podcast, Bucks in the Basement, I believe it was, said that, they thought maybe Quintana would be a potential extension candidate, or maybe they should extend him. And I'm not totally against that. I just don't see it happening. I think that the value in Quintana is trade, because he's not getting any younger. You know, it'd be great if he was returning to form, but he hasn't been there in several years. So the likelihood of that happening is probably pretty low. It's more likely that he's being a, he's got a window here where everything's clicking. And you know, if you get an offer, I think you jump on it. That will give you a window or a hole in the rotation that you can fill with one of the few arms in Indy that are close to being ready. Quintana's been great. You know, see what we can get out of him. The other guy, man, JT Brubaker. JT Brubaker is frustrating because he will be absolutely dominant, and then he'll walk two guys and give up a home run. You know, for this season, he's 0-4 with a 5.50 ERA over 8 starts. Over the 36 innings that he's pitched, he has a whip of 1.42. He struck out 43, and that's a really good number. I mean, the other night he struck out 10. The thing with Brubaker is he gives up a lot of home runs. I mean, you look at last year in 124 and a third inning over 24 games, he gave up 28 home runs. So far this year, over his 8 games, he's given up 5. Walks have also been an issue. He's up to 19 so far this year. You know, and like I said, that's over, you know, 36 innings pitched. Now, with all that being said, you know, the K's are there. He's holding opponents to a real low batting average against. So, I mean, what's he at? It was like 225, I believe. 225. You know, if he can get those walks under control, limit the homers, he's one of the guys that I can see sticking. The walks and the homers are concerning for a move to the pen. You know, you don't want to put that out there. You know, but I think that's where he'll eventually go. To get a look, because that seems to be what the Pirates are doing at the moment. You have these guys with the talent like Crow and Peters and Chase DeYoung even, but you throw them in the pen so they can go multiple innings. And I think that's probably where Brubaker will end up. However, you know, over this month, not too bad. I mean, you take out that start the other day where, Castro and Chavis forgot how to catch pop-ups, and Sasugo continued to be terrible at first base. You take out the errors, you know, he does not give up 4 earned runs and 6 runs total. That doesn't happen. Maybe a couple, but not that. Because he was borderline dominant. That inning was just a mess. So I'm giving him like a 50-50 shot. I think that if he continues to pitch how he has this month, like I said, you know, he's gone 5 innings, at least 5 innings in every one of his starts this month. you know, prior to the mess that happened the other night, he's got like gave up two runs in each of his two previous starts, only one home run, walked two guys in each start. I see him trending in the right direction. However, I've also seen him pitch like this before, and then the bottom drops out. Like last year. He needs to be way more consistent to establish himself in the rotation. I think he has it in him, but so do some other guys, and others have had it in the past, and they never are able to get it to click. So, I'm saying 50-50. That's where I'm going with Brute Baker. So the next guy is similar to Brute Baker in a lot of ways, Zach Thompson. Zach Thompson, if you'd asked me at the end of April if I thought he was had a chance to stick in this rotation, I probably would have said no. I mean, his April was god-awful. Opponents at 3.43 against him. He 14 in the third inning, gave up 16 earned runs, 4 homers, 9 walks and 12 Ks. That's not great. But over the last couple starts, he's been so much better. For this month alone, including his one inning of relief, you know, he's got 12 innings under his belt. He's only given up 4 hits. He has walked 4, but he struck out 10. 2-0. You know, he did get that one win in relief, but he's a different pitcher. He's dropped his whip and batting average against down considerably. You know, for the season now, he's looking at a 5.47 ERA. And you look at that and you think, well, that's not what we want to see. And you're right. But it's so bloated due to his April. You know, his second start of the season, 6 runs in 4 innings. The next start, 4 earned runs in 2 innings. Next start after that, 4 runs in 4 and a third. He was giving up a homer, an outing in April, and he hasn't given up one in May. I kind of put Zach Thompson in the same, category as a Brubaker. I think Thompson, if he continues to build off what he's done over his last couple starts, now again, there were 2 starts against the Reds, who aren't the best. If he continues to build on that and ends up, the norm being, 5 innings, maybe a couple runs, I think he'll stick. Otherwise, I think he'll go to the pen. I think Zach Thompson, unless he implodes, will be on this team in a couple years. Or, if he's gone, and he hasn't imploded, it's because they've dealt him. I like the guy. I think he's got good stuff. We've seen it over the last, couple starts. Even his first start of the season was solid. 5 hits in 4 innings, 2 runs. One of them was a homer. Only walked 1, struck out 3. But, he's not a big K guy. He did have 6 2 starts ago, but then his last one, 3 innings, or 3 Ks over 6 innings. I'll give him 50-50. I don't think they'll be as patient with Zach Thompson as they would be for like a Brubaker, simply because of age. I mean, Thompson is kind of a late bloomer. He's 28 years old. He'll be 29, in the end of October. So age is you know, catching up with him a little bit. But, I mean, it happens. Pitchers develop at different speeds, and, you know, one thing could have clicked for him. And, you know, he had a good year last year with the Marlins. I would have loved to have seen him be a little bit more consistent, but, you know, start of the season, shortened spring training. That's why I'm really kind of looking at May as being the start of the season, if that makes sense. So, like, I always feel like April was a lot of, you know, still working out some kinks, still getting stretched out because they weren't able to do that in the spring. But, yeah, Zach Thompson, 2024, is he in the rotation? I'm giving him a maybe. Same with Brubaker. When I revisit this, you know, later in the year, I think we'll have a better idea of who the real Zach Thompson is, and who the real Brubaker is, for that matter. But for now, will he be in the rotation in 24? Maybe. The next guy is Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller is probably one of the most frustrating guys on this team. Probably one of the more frustrating starting pitchers since Glasnow. You know, one of those guys, the ability's there. Just for whatever reason, it won't come together. And for Mitch Keller, I really do think that time's running out. Because for him, you know, he's had opportunities in the big league since 2019. You know, he's eating up service time. This year has been awful. It hasn't all been awful, but it has been awful. You know, when you look at his starts, like he's had two good starts this season. Back on the April 20th against the Brewers, you know, 5 1/3, 4 hits, 1 run, was a home run. But he didn't walk anybody. Struck out 7. That is an ideal start for Mitch Keller. He follows that up by going 4 2/3 with 4 runs, 5 hits, a homer, and 2 walks. Follows that up with a May 1st start against the Padres where he looked pretty dominant. 6 innings, 5 hits, a run, no walks, and 5 Ks. When he doesn't walk people, that's when you know he's on. However, all his other starts, he's walked multiple people, including his appearance last night in relief. You know, they went with the opener, Will Crow, and brought Keller in. And while he wasn't terrible, 2 2/3, 3 hits, a run, hit a guy, walked 2, struck out 4. And I know when he was pulled last night, Pirates Twitter was not happy about it. And the YouTube broadcast, which that's a whole other animal, that YouTube broadcast. That was one of the more annoying broadcasts that made me miss Greg Brown and Bob Walk. And I didn't think that was possible. But man, between the just everything, like Yonder Alonso just rambling on and yelling and everything. And I can't remember her name, whoever was, you know, their version of Robbie. Out there just hammering on Sawinski's dad about crying and to like the freaking annoying music that commercial break where they run out of commercials and they just had to stay tuned, we'll be right back, playing that horrible like synthesized beeping. I don't know what it was. Just awful. But anyway. I know that's, you know, that's why they took him out. You know, he when he walks people, I think it's only a matter of time before the runs start coming in. Two walks over two and a third, plus a hit batter. That's not great. That trends more in the direction of, you know, I think Shelton was good for taking him out because it trends in that direction of, oh, I know what's going to happen next. He's going to give up a three-run homer or, you know, nothing good. Mitch Keller's an enigma. I mean, you have this. You have prospects that never put it together. All these guys that the Pirates claim all the time off waivers, you know, Tyler Beede, what's his name, Carson Fulmer. Those are guys that had the pedigree. They had the ability, and whether they were slowed down by injuries in their development or, you know, just whatever, just never put it together at the big leagues. Mitch Keller's kind of one of those guys, I think, at this point. I don't know if he's ever going to put it together. So at this point, before the season started, you had hopes. I think everybody had hopes that Keller finally got it. And we all looked for signs of improvement in every start. And we saw some, but the results still aren't there. I don't know if they're – I don't think they'll ever get there. And I've been a big proponent for – putting him out there, giving him the opportunities. Same with Cole Tucker. I was a big advocate for Cole Tucker, and even I've dialed it back a little bit on these two. I think there comes a point when you've got to move on. For whatever reason, it's not working. The idea is that, you know, you have people ready for, you know, next man up. And I think Mitch Keller may have hit that point. I don't think they're going to, you know, they're not going to release him unless, at least for a while, I don't think. But, man, it has not been good. The rest of the rotation, I don't even really know who to talk about here because they've just been using the opener. They had been using Bryce Wilson, obviously, in the rotation to start the season. Bryce Wilson's just been bad. For the season, he's sitting at a 5.67 ERA. He started four games. He's appeared in seven. Just not good. I had a little bit of hope for Bryce to be able to go out and pitch out of that pen. And I don't think he can. Like, I really don't. I think if you look at his this season, the first time he had the opener and, you know, came in after him, you know, was back on the 27th of April. You know, four innings, one run, no walks, four Ks. Fantastic. He hasn't come close to duplicating that since. Yeah, May 4th against the Tigers, he went 3 2/3. Two hits, one walk, three unearned runs. But after that, you know, the Dodgers, he gave up six. The Cubs, the other night, 5 1/3. He eight hits, three earned runs, homer, two walks, two Ks. I just don't see it for Bryce Wilson. I think he's the one that I will 100%, close to 100% say, other than Quintana. you know, based on results, Bryce Wilson is not going to make it. I don't think he'll be here with the 2024 team. I believe he still has an option, so I wouldn't be shocked if maybe they send him down if they need to send somebody down at some point. But, man, it just things have not gone well. He showed flashes last year. Nothing mind-blowing, but enough to make you think, okay, this guy might be a solid starter. you know, like I said, April, kind of take that with a grain of salt with shortened spring training. But he's been, you know, his numbers are slightly, I will say slightly bloated with that 1-6 run outing against the Dodgers. But, like, he's been walking a ton of guys. His whip's 1.59, which for me, if you're over, I'd say like 1.4, if you're over that, you probably aren't a great starter. And Bryce Wilson has not been a great option for them this year. He could turn around, sure. He's only 24. But, man, he's had opportunities both with Atlanta and the Pirates at this point. He'll continue to get them. And we'll talk about why here in a second with what's coming in Indy. But it hasn't been good for him. As far as, like, the openers, we've seen a couple. I think the one guy that is still doing very well, well, they had two of them, both of them actually. Dylan Peters has been used more in that opener than Will Crow. Will Crow got the nod last night. But Dylan Peters is still pretty solid. However, he had a rough one the other day. 2/3 of an inning, you know, 5 runs. That's going to bloat your numbers. Again, he didn't, you know, he put the guys on. He didn't necessarily give up the hits to do that. But man, he's been so solid. I'd love to just see him in the reliever role, but like, so far as with the opener, he's been okay. He's done it 3 times. And with good results, all except for that last outing. Is he, in my opinion, I don't think he's a realistic candidate to go back into a full-fledged starting role. I think if you do it, you just keep running him out there as the opener or just, out of the pen. Could he be with the team in 2024? Absolutely. He keeps pitching like this, absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised, if he ends up being a trade piece, if he continues this. I hate calling people old that are, like, way younger than me, that I was, like, in Little League when they were born. Or even sometimes in high school when they were born. But like Dylan Peters here, he's pushing 30. He'll be 30 in August. So he's been fun to watch. Like, I love when these guys find a niche and find their groove, and he really found it in that bullpen role, that long relief role. And someone, here is the opener. So I don't think he's a realistic option for the rotation. And I can say the same about Will Crow. Will Crow's been pretty solid. He's starting to come back down to earth a little bit. But overall, you can't ask for too much more, out of Will Crow. I think he's definitely pitched himself out of the conversation of being a realistic option for, a starter who you're relying on to go 5-6 innings. But I don't think he's necessarily done it in a bad way, right? He's established himself in that pen, him and Peters in that kind of swing man type long relief role. And they're both thriving. So, will they both be with the team in 2025? They could, or 2024? They could. but I think more in the relief role. And I wouldn't be surprised also that, you know, they could be talked about, you know, if they continue this to have this success, to be talked about in trades as we get closer to the deadline or in the off season, and moving forward. So now I want to look at, like, who else could we expect to see in the rotation? And some of them we've kind of seen a little bit of already, and, you know, normally, you know, relief roles. And let's start with the most exciting one, really, and that's Ronesy Contreras. Contreras has looked very good in his big league time. You know, even though it's not a whole lot, he's been pretty solid. His stuff plays very well in the big leagues. He's I have this theory, and I have no reason to really I have no sources. I have nothing to base this on other than a hunch, other than a gut feeling. You know, last year when I was doing the podcast, I always, you know, preached that this was about, last year was about development, right? And about evaluation and evaluating who can be part of the future. We're still there. You know, we don't have enough talent in the, on the big league club. You know, big league talent, like guys that have a chance to make all-star games, or, you know, guys that have a chance to, you know, play every day. There's not enough of that. There's some, but there's not enough. Ben Cherington and his crew, and Derek Sheldon and his crew, are still just constantly evaluating what they have at the top levels. With all the trades and everything, they really did a good job of making the lower levels way more robust. I think we kind of see that in Altoona right now. Triple A is still lacking a little bit. But my theory is that in June, I think we're going to see an influx of talent. This roster is going to continuously churn and rotate, and people are going to move in and out. And I think that, you know, a good 2 months of evaluation time is enough to kind of, if you had any doubts or you wondered who certain people were, I think you know, right? And I said, you know, Mitch Keller, I think we kind of know now. I don't think he is capable of being consistent. But I think that we'll see Contreras here in June. I think that, you know, he could easily flop in there to the rotation. You know, he could easily be, you know, a long reliever, or just, you know, they could piggyback if they want to limit his innings a little bit. So for his big league run this year in four games, three games, he had 3.52 ERA, 7 2/3 innings pitch. He struck out 10, had a whip. In Spanish. And my watch just decided to start speaking Spanish. But in his, with his whip, you know, it's 0.91. He looked good. You know, he gave up his first outing was a rough one, but he really settled down. You know, he gave up a couple home runs. But, like, all in all, he shut people down. He's 22. You know, he'll be 23 this year. So I really think that we're looking at seeing Contreras up for good, probably, hopefully, in June. Aside from Contreras, Some other guys that we've seen, you know, Miguel Yajure is one. And Yajure's kind of been a mixed bag. Like, he's been kind of a, I don't want to say disappointment, but kind of a letdown, I guess. I think he has the ability. He showed it in flashes, but he also got rocked. Now he's out, you know, back in, was it back injury, same thing that he had last year. You know, who knows how long he's going to be out. So we're not going to see Yajure anytime soon. If he, you know, comes back and is healthy, I'm sure we'll see him again. You know, as this roster continues to churn and, you know, as we get closer to the deadline and, you know, guys get traded, I mean, I have hopes that, you know, they'll be able to flip, you know, Quintana for some talent and like Chris Stratton and guys like that. Maybe another reliever, you know. So I think we'll see Yajure. Is he a lock for the rotation? Like, would I say that he's a lock to be in that in 2024? No. I think Contreras is essentially a lock. I think Contreras will get as much time and as many looks as Mitch Keller has. But Yajure just needs to stay on the field and needs to stay healthy. You know, after Yajure, another guy that we've seen is Max Kranick. Max Kranick also apparently, you know, back on the injured list. He, in his big league time, he only appeared in two games over five innings. You know, didn't give up any runs. Three hits, three walks, four Ks. I don't know where I see Kranick. I think Kranick could be in that rotation in 2024. I think he could, you know, he needs to stay healthy. He needs to cut down on the walks a little bit. You know, in his minor league time this year, you know, he only started three games, appeared in four because he started, you know, on the injured list. 8 2/3 innings, and, you know, ERA of 3.12. Not too bad. But that's pretty much it. You know, with AAA and Indy, there's not a whole lot of high-end talent. The one guy, and he had a really nice outing the other night, who I think we'll see, and I didn't mean to say, I think he could be top-end talent. I didn't mean to skip him. Cody Bolton. You know, Cody Bolton really hasn't pitched a whole lot in the last couple of years due to injury and COVID. They're kind of moving him around. He'll start, he'll come out of the pen. You know, he'll kind of be that, he'll have an opener. You know, Osvaldo Beto opened the other night and, you know, he came in and pitched, you know, four innings out in relief. So far he's appeared in eight games, 21 innings. He's given up 9 earned runs. He's walked 12 and struck out 26. The whip is 1.43. So those walks kind of hurting him. You know, I'd say he probably averages like 2 walks a start. You know, over his past several outings, they've been better. You know, he started really well. You know, pitched you know, a couple innings in his first game, gave up a couple hits, no runs, an inning in his second outing, no runs. And then April 15th, couple innings, 3 runs, the week later, a couple innings, two runs, and he's really kind of settled down. He seems to be hovering in that two runs and outing range, with the exception, like I said, of his last one, where it was four innings where he only gave up one hit, hit a guy, had two walks, but six Ks. By far his best outing of the season, his longest outing of the season. So they're really just kind of taking their time, stretching him out. I think when we head into the trade deadline, and you got to figure Quintana will be dealt. And we head that late into the summer, I'm sure one or two of these other guys have pitched themselves out of the rotation. Injuries happen as well. I think we'll see Bolton. As long as he keeps it up and continues to progress and stretch himself out, I think we'll see him. And I like Cody Bolton. I think the floor for Cody Bolton as a starter is like a JT Brubaker. Ceiling, I could see him as a mid-rotation arm, like a number two, number three, number four if they're stacked. But basically, like, what we're looking at is by the time this season's done, I think that all the people that we will see start for the Pirates could very well not be doing that in 2024, with the lone exception of Ronsey Contreras. Bolton, I would put Bolton, Brubaker, and Zach Thompson kind of in that same realm. Bolton, just because he's unproven. Like, we haven't seen him in the big leagues yet. We haven't seen him pitch a full season since 2019. So I think that, he's kind of a wild card, and that's kind of why I put him there. I think he'll be there. But Quintana will be traded. The other guy, Keller, I don't think is going to make it. I don't like to give up on these guys, because we all see the talent. We all see the ability, just cannot get it to click. And that happens. That's why you have depth. That's why you continue to trade. It's why you continue to build and construct, the waves and the influx of talent from the minor leagues. That's how the Pirates are going to get to where they need to be. Right now, they have some guys that, really, if they traded Quintana, you have other guys that could bring some starting pitching back that could fit into, like, the time frame that I'm looking at. They could trade for somebody this year that, there's a starting in AAA for somebody that's kind of blocked, to flip a Stratton or Ben Gamel, is another trade piece as well. Who knows? Who knows? Next year, I think, will look different than this year. I think we'll still see some carryover to start the season. That's when we're going to see, I think, the waves. Not really getting too in-depth in it this time, but Altoona has Burrows, Majinski, Priester, Ortiz, all those guys that aren't quite ready, or they're hurt, or, have struggled. Majinski struggled. He looked like he was coming around a little bit, and then now he's, I believe he's hurt. But it's, those guys aren't going to be in the big leagues this year, with the exception of maybe Burrows. I give Burrows an outside chance of making his debut this year. I think if he continues to mow people down, I think you're looking at another Contreras situation where he could just jump up to the big leagues later in the season and get his, make his debut, or, a move to AAA is probably you know, more likely for him. But yeah, I mean, talent's coming. They just need to continue to acquire and continue to reload. And they're running out of big league chips. I mean, aside from Brian Reynolds, and Brian Reynolds' trade value is probably on the low side at the moment. So you're going to sit on him. But they're running out of those chips to bring back the really high-end talent. So you're going to have to get creative, going to have to continue to develop. But, you know, like I said, with what's in the big league club right now, I think pitching is going to be a sore spot for the next couple years till those guys develop. They're not going to be able to sign five starters. They don't have that kind of money. Most teams don't. Free agent starting pitching is very expensive. You know, unless you fill the whole rotation with a bunch of bargain basement guys like, you know, Quintana and hope for the best. You know, that doesn't work out all the time. We've seen for every Tyler Anderson and Jose Quintana, there's a dozen Trevor Cahills. See what happens. Keep hoping these guys, hoping Brubaker, hoping Thompson continue to build off of what they've been doing lately. But I think we're going to see some turnover, and I think we're going to see it here relatively soon. So that's the episode for today. You know, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. You know, check me out on social media, Bucko Fever Pod on Twitter, Bucko Fever Podcast on Facebook, and BuckoFeverPodcast.com. You know, let me know if you want to talk baseball or, you know, what you think. Any feedback is welcome. But, you know, as always, just, you know, keep watching the Pirates. You know, try to be optimistic. I know it's not the easiest, but I think we're going to see some good things before this season's out. So, again, thanks for listening and have a good one.